Hello, I'm Todd Streeter with Community Collaboration, and I am so pleased to be working with the City of Pine City and all of its residents on a new project called the Community Action Plan. It is a public engagement process that will be assisting the city with its comprehensive plan and its update of that plan, and this process relies heavily on community engagement. And today, we have with us Mike Gaynor. He is the Community Development Director of Pine City, and we're looking to have a nice little conversation and talk about the project. And Mike, welcome to our first podcast.
Thanks, Todd. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to talk about this.
Well, give us just a little background on yourself and kind of what your job responsibilities are there for Pine City.
Oh, certainly. Well, before taking the job here with the city, I was the editor of the local newspaper, the Pine City Pioneer, for the previous 12 years or so. Position opened up, and I wanted to go for it because I've been writing about these things for so long, and I love Pine City, and just the opportunity to do the things that I'd been writing about and to try to make that kind of change happen in Pine City is just too good to pass up. And so I've been here since the beginning of December, and we're just rolling along.
Well, I think as a former editor, you probably know like 90% of the people in the community, don't you? And,
probably
have a great knowledge of all past activities pretty much, right?
Well, I've got a sense of it. You know, as they say in a small town, you know, unless you went to high school here, you're not really a native. But it was a great opportunity to meet all the people and, you know, just to get a sense of the town. And one of the things that I've been really impressed by with Pine City since the beginning is this sense of volunteerism and this that people really care deeply about their community. And so it's just great to be part of that. And then for that to lead into all of this, Todd, that we're doing together and this community action plan that you've laid out. So I was wondering from you, we're talking about this community action plan. Can you tell me about how this idea of the community action plan came about for you?
There was a time when I was the executive director of the Stillwater Chamber of Commerce. I wanted to just kind of create an opportunity for the entire community to get involved in their future. And as a chamber guy, you know, that's kind of a big bucket to kind of swim in. But I decided that we needed to really figure out how to get the community involved. And so long story short, we created a downtown revitalization committee for downtown Stillwater. And I didn't really have a template of how this process was going to start, but I knew that we had to do something for downtown because it didn't have a lot of activity in the wintertime. And that didn't make the merchants, you know, feel all that great.
Sure.
And we also needed to figure out ways to, you know, get that engine running on all cylinders. It really, for a lot of reasons, it needed to be looked at. And the other thing is we came off the recession at that time of 2010, and nobody had any money. It was a bad time. And so It's like, you know, what do we do to revitalize downtown Stillwater? And I basically told the group, as we had our meeting, you don't have a choice but to do it yourselves. And so I said, as a chamber guy, I will be here to provide the structure of all of this, but you will have to come up with all the ideas. And for that project, it lasted 2.5 years because we took the summers off, as one might expect. We were able to create subcommittees. These people did an awesome job researching all their ideas on the internet and really telling a story about what downtown Stillwater could be. And then they made these presentations to the city council, and it's like, wow. And I watched the dynamics of both the city and downtown change dramatically to a much more positive, proactive, engaged group that were really starting to formulate a common vision, which quite some time. So I'm thinking, wow, you know, I probably should figure out how to package this a little bit more and then offer this to other communities, which I did do. I worked with the city of New Richmond and Pleasant Prairie in Wisconsin and Cambridge up by you guys for downtown revitalization as well. And all of these work out really, really well.
Well, I'm excited. One of the things that I love about this process is exactly what you described, is that It's not the city telling the community we're going to do this, and it's not the community telling City Hall, hey, this is what you should do. It's the community coming together and trying to find a solution to these problems and trying to find just ways to make the town better. That's what's so exciting about it.
Well, and it is exciting, and it's fun for me to watch the communities and the interaction between people who come into this process, really maybe not even knowing anyone in the room. And then after, 4 months, 6 months, 8 months of this process, it is so incredibly gratifying to watch everybody really, really dedicated to making their community something special. And you'll be witnessing the same thing as this project goes on. But first, I suppose people who are listening to this podcast are trying to figure out what is a comprehensive plan and why are we doing this? And maybe you can enlighten us on that.
Sure, absolutely. So a comprehensive plan, it's required by law, by state statute, that every city in Minnesota write a comprehensive plan every 10 years. And what this thing does is it is meant to direct development in the city and sort of lay out a framework for where the city is going to go. Now, of course, we can't predict the future. So this is a plan just to give us some guidance along the way.
I kind of express it as like a business plan for the community.
Ah, okay. That's a good way to think of it.
I'm talking with Scott Hildebrandt that when we first were embarking on this process, that you guys had started the plan and starting to move it forward prior to COVID-19, and then it kind of took a hiatus?
Oh, that's exactly right. The last plan came out in 2013. There was an effort starting in 2017, 2018 to renew the plan before that 10-year deadline. And of course, that ran into some roadblocks, as we all know. The last couple of years have been a bit rocky. So we are getting this going now. And again, just very excited to be doing it in this fashion, in this way that is sort of community-led.
Is there anything specific within the community action plan process that is of interest to the city and how we're doing things?
Absolutely. Again, it's not only the idea that we're going to end up with a comprehensive plan, but we're going to end up with all of these projects that the community is going to be behind and deeply involved in trying to make happen in Pine City. So that's, again, it's the action part of the community action plan that has me most excited about this process.
When we did our kickoff meeting, which we'll talk about here in a few seconds, I explained to the group that, typically most cities don't afford their community this kind of approach. I've even had some cities say, Todd, we don't really want the community to be fully engaged in what we're doing because our community is not really functioning very well. And I kind of go, well, maybe that's why you're not engaging them. I mean,
that's right.
It's an interesting dynamic. And I'm a former mayor. I've seen these things happen. And I've worked with cities for 20 years. And anytime a community says, hey, let's figure out a real proactive way to have the community engaged in a thoughtful process where they actually sit in our shoes for any number of months really changes the dynamics of that relationship, which is why I do what I do. But it is kind of surprising the number of cities that say, I don't know, this kind of scares me. I don't know if you want to give the community that much input on what we're doing. I don't know. It surprises me, but it's progressive communities such as Pine City that say, no, we need this. We need to do this.
We absolutely do need this, And of course, the city has its divisions. But this idea that, City Hall is up on a hill and they're making the decisions about the whole community. This kind of process can change that. As you said, it puts people in the shoes of the city staff, the city council members, the members of our EDA and HRA, and they're out there and now they're helping to get these things done.
Whether it be a village or a city, be it small, be it large, that work is never easy. And then as an elected official, it's kind of a thankless job because, you can't make 100% of the people happy naturally. So it can be challenging. And then the community, on the other hand, when they don't understand what it is that you're doing collectively in government and they're observers or witnesses, and they can't switch places, then they just think of what's with the tip of the iceberg stuff and don't realize the stuff underneath. And when they switch places for, you know, 4 or 5, 6 months, and they learn what the challenges are and that solutions aren't easy to come by, given even the issues that they raise and are trying to work on, it's a whole different dynamic. And they really become appreciative of what municipal government and what that dedication truly means.
I'm just thinking back to when we first got together on, gosh, what was it, about a month ago now, where we met at Pine Tech, and you got the chance to sort of engage with the Pine City community for the first time. What was your takeaway from that? You've led these kickoff meetings before in different communities. What was your sense of how the Pine City community reacted to what these ideas that you were presenting?
For me, it's always, like I said, this is always fun for me. I just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. You know, I can stand up there in front of 50, 60 people, and I know some of them know each other, some of them don't, and they come from all different backgrounds. And they're in one room for one reason, and that is to understand what they can do to help their community. I also know that they don't know anything about what they're about to learn. So everybody starts from the very beginning. And I make a point during that presentation that it doesn't matter what position you are in the community. It doesn't matter your education level or whether you're doing extremely well or maybe not so well. That matters nothing, because at the start of this process, everybody is starting from the exact same point.
That's right.
And we're only focused on things, you know, Pine City, of course, in this case. We don't worry about other stuff, and we just take a look at things. And the best part about it is we're all focused on positive things to focus on. You know, I know that from the start, and that's why when I do the presentation, I kind of go through the traditional engagement model that most cities use, where they have a committee that meets maybe 2 or 3 times, and they listen to a planner give their ideas to the community, and maybe that planner doesn't even live in the city, and the group comments a couple times, and then that's it. And I'm thinking, no, there has to be much more, because if you want to change relationships with the community and the city, you need to have them working together on bigger stuff and let the community come up with the ideas. So when I saw everybody starting to reach for those sign-up forms to be on the committee when we were, you know, nearing the end of the presentation, I knew that we were going to have a great group to move forward with.
So true. You know, one of the things that I love about as you brought this process forward was you sent out a questionnaire. It was just a 3-part questionnaire. You know, write down, what do you love about Pine City? What are the things that is missing in Pine City, and what can be improved or areas of improvement? And people's responses are fascinating. I love the fact that there's 4 pages of things that people love about Pine City, and just about 2 pages of each of ones where what can be improved and what's missing. But gosh, people had a lot of great insights.
And that's always revealing, because, and those are the exact same 3 questions I used back in Stillwater 10 years ago. And they pretty much give you a 360 coverage of your community. Everybody loves a lot of things about their community. So it's like, okay, when you ask that question, it's like, well, let's get people to focus on what they love, because that's the stuff that either you want to make sure doesn't change or is enhanced some way or protected in some way. So that's always a good question, and you always want to know what those things are. And then what can be improved upon? You know, you could ask that question every given day and you may get a different answer. But when you ask it in totality, which we do with the entire group, you get a long list of stuff. And some of these things the cities have seen before or they know about. And sometimes it's things that maybe they're not fully aware of. But when you see multiple people writing down the same thing, then you start going, well, okay, maybe there's some other things we should be thinking about too.
Oh, that's absolutely correct.
And then the 3rd question is, what's missing in Pine City, or, you know, any community that we ask that question? And that's really meant to say, you know, if you've traveled around and you've seen what other communities have throughout the country, and you really thought it was really cool, or why don't we have that? it's really kind of a wish list of things. It's like, you know, why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? It's another way of looking at question number two, but in a different purpose, because there's a lot of communities out there who've done incredible things to make their communities wonderful or to enhance their job prospects or economic development or their parks and trails. And if someone's seen something, well, let's get that down and let's take a look at it for Pine City.
You know, at this point in the process, we've got our six areas that we want to work on, which is community connectivity, transportation and infrastructure, community pride, which is public facilities, safety services. Another one is creating community, which is land use and housing. We've got downtown revitalization, which is economic development. Another economic development is our economic prosperity subcommittee, and quality of life, which is parks, trails, and recreation, and all that other good, fun stuff. One of the things we really thought was important for this process was that this is open to, you know, not just people who live in the city limits of Pine City, but to anyone who lives, you know, what we call Greater Pine City, in Pekegama Township, in Changwatana Township, Pine City Township. If they live around here, you know, if they kind of live in the Pine City School District, if their mail comes to their house and says Pine City on it, then come on in. We'd love to have you as part of the team. And one of the things I like about this process, Todd, is that people can still join right along the way, right?
Exactly. In fact, we had somebody sign up just yesterday, and we've had two meetings thus far. So we want to make sure that anyone and everyone does know that they can sign up at any point along the process, because naturally, you know, some people with their best intentions aren't able to maybe afford the time that is required to do this. And so they might beg off of being on the committee. So there's always a little bit of people are not able to give their all that they want to. But we also want to make sure that we get as many people who might learn about it after the second, third, fourth meeting and still make them welcome to get on the board, because they haven't missed anything necessarily, and their input and ideas are always valuable.
So, Todd, as we were talking about earlier, this all comes back around to our comprehensive plan, right? And so these subcommittees are meant to inform that process as well. Do you want to talk a little bit more about how you see that working?
When I did this process for the city of New Richmond in Wisconsin, they weren't quite sure what they wanted to do, because they had actually launched their project and then they stopped it because the engagement component wasn't going well. And they reached out to me and I explained what this process was all about. And then I said, well, in addition to letting your community actually drive the process with their ideas, we also need to restructure the comprehensive plan. And they kind of looked at me like, oh, really? How do we do that? And I said, well, we need to not have a subcommittee called Infrastructure and City Facilities, because that just isn't going to attract a lot of attention. But if you think about it, a lot of these civic structures and public gathering places that create a fabric within a community are really about community pride, along with other services that cities and organizations offer. So why don't we call it community pride? And, you know, lo and behold, of course, everybody goes, yeah, I want to be on community pride. What can we do? So it's a lot of little things that we do with this process to get people involved and play a very meaningful role. But these subcommittees you just mentioned also reflect major chapters in your comprehensive plan. So when you're working with your updating that and all the tables and information and data you're putting into your final plan, you're able to also plug in the ideas and recommendations that each of these subcommittees have offered through this process under each of these major chapters or components of your comprehensive plan. So they mesh together seamlessly. So it serves kind of a dual purpose. And what I've expressed to the group during our kickoff meeting is that their recommendations, the ideas they come up with are actually should be thought of towards the end of all of this, and maybe after the comprehensive plan, they should be thought of as projects. Because when you think of projects, you think of, you know, something that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and an outcome. And sometimes projects require some funding, sometimes they don't. And so when they look at their ideas and they package them in a way for these recommendations for the comprehensive plan, they're actually developing projects that allows the city and the community to work on together after the process is over. And it makes it much more sense, and hence the community action plan, because the outcome is designed to be actionable, not a book that sits on a planner shelf for the next comprehensive plan 10 years later.
Oh, exactly right. I mean, what I see happening in this, in the future here, is we have this process going forward with meetings in May, June, and July. And our final formal meeting will be in July. But then I see this process continuing as these subcommittees sort of take on a life of their own and get very focused in on how to make the projects that they've care about and that they've learned so much about, how to make that actually happen in our community. I'm like I said, it's the action part of the community action plan that just gets me jazzed. So I'm psyched about that. So we've got meetings coming up. They'll be every other Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. At the Snake River Fur Post, which is at 12551 Voyager Lane. That's 12551 Voyager Lane. Again, 5 to 7 p.m. So that'll be on May 5th, May 29th, June 2nd, June 16th, and June 30th. And again, people are invited to join those at any time. And they can always get a hold of us through the Pine City website, which is pinecity.govoffice.com. Once again, that's pinecity.govoffice.com. They can email me at mgainer@pinecitygov.com, or they can give me a call at 320-315-4885, or Todd, they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, and either way, they're going to get in touch with either yourself or myself, and I'm at toddinvolvementisgood.com, as well as 651-325-7642. And we'd be happy to get you into the committee, get you the materials that we've been working with thus far, and it'll take no time at all to get up to speed if you want to join the group now. And I think it'd be helpful to let the listeners here know that this process does continue pretty much through mid-July, and the culmination of the committees at large work and the subcommittees in particular will be a presentation that each of these subcommittees will be giving to the city staff and council, as well as the community at large, regarding their recommendations and how they see their vision for Pine City moving forward. So it's a great time to get involved. And if you're not able to get involved, certainly support the process. Come to the presentation when it's scheduled. And then I am sure that there'll be plenty of projects and work to be done after its conclusion, which the city and the residents can start to work on together. So it's a great experience for everybody. And I am so thrilled to be working with everyone in Pine City and can't wait to see what the committee comes up with.
Oh, I'm so excited, Todd. And again, it's just great to work with you. I had huge expectations for this process, and so far, just absolutely overjoyed with where we're going.
And I should remind our listeners that this is our first podcast for this project, we'll probably be doing two more, be one midway through, let you all know how things are going and maybe some of the ideas that the committee's coming up with. And then we'll touch base with our residents there with this podcast just before the presentation to let you know more details about that. That will be coming up in about mid-July. So in the meantime, we appreciate you listening to our Community Action Plan podcast. And we thank Mike Gainer for being our special guest. And thank you very much for listening. And please consider joining our committee if you have some time and interest.
You bet, Todd. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.